friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends. Happy Wednesday. The World Series is set. It'll be my Texas Rangers against the Arizona Diamondbacks. After watching Arizona last night, it ought to be a heck of a series. The Fall Classic, as it were, is the longest-running championship in American sports. This year's World Series marks 120 times that the World Series has been played. The first one was in 1903. It featured the American League Boston Americans against the National League Pittsburgh Pirates in a best of nine series, with Boston prevailing 5-3. They actually won the last four. The first three games were played in Boston, the next four in Allegheny, that's where the Pirates play, and the eighth game in Boston. The great Honus Wagner was really not that great at all. He went 6-27 in the series and committed 6 errors. It's pretty amazing because that year his performance at shortstop was actually pretty incredible. And at the plate, he hit .355 and drove in 101 runs. On the other side, the new American League had a strong pitching staff led by none other than Cy Young. Yeah, the guy the pitching award is named after. That year, he went 28-9 and became the all-time wins leader that year. Going into the Fall Classic, the Pirates had a series of bizarre misfortunes. Listen to this. Otto Krueger, the team's only utility player, was beaned on September 19th and never fully played in the series. The 16-game winner, Ed Doney, left the team 3 days later, exhibiting signs of paranoia. He was later committed to an insane asylum the following month. Lever had been battling an injury to his pitching arm, which he had made worse by entering a trap shooting competition. Dummy. Worst of all, Honus Wagner, who had had a sore thumb throughout the season, injured his right leg in September and was never 100% for the postseason. The following spring, Honus Wagner, who in 1903 led the National League in batting average, refused to send his portrait to the Hall of Fame for batting champions. Quote, "I was too bum last year," he wrote. "I was a joke in that Boston-Pittsburgh series. What does it profit a man to hammer along and make a few hits when they're not needed, only to fall down when it comes to a pinch? I would be ashamed to have my picture up now." Now, if you don't know who Honus Wagner is, I'm pretty sure that you've seen a picture of his baseball card. It's the one with the orangish-yellowish background and his portrait. The last one, and there are only 60 of them known to exist, sold for $7.25 million. An article from ESPN, August 4th, 2022, says, and I quote, "There is nothing on earth like the T206 card," said Ken Golden, executive chairman and founder of Golden, in a statement. Quote, "There's a reason why no Wagner card has sold for less than it was previously purchased for. The card is art. It's history. It's folklore. The folklore of this card hinges on its uber rarity. Like I said, there's only between 50 and 60 known copies to exist. There are multiple theories as to why so few of these cards exist, including that the printing plate broke during production. There was a copyright dispute between the artist who drew the card and the tobacco company. But the most popular theory, which has been offered up by Wagner's family and New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art, is that Wagner didn't want to promote smoking tobacco to children and asked the card to be pulled from production. The most logical theory, however, is that Wagner realized he wasn't going to be compensated fairly for his name, image, and likeness, and so he objected. No matter the reason, so few copies have been made of it in 2022 that Wagner is routinely called the Holy Grail or the Mona Lisa of trading cards. So, as you no doubt have ascertained, I, my friends, am a baseball fanatic. There's even one that sits on my desk. Oh, it's of no particular significance. I just like having it. And baseball cards? I'm kind of a nut about them. I don't have any that are super uber expensive, although I do have some interesting ones. For example, my entire life I've wanted a Mickey Mantle baseball card, and now I have one. There's a 1989 Nolan Ryan that's worth several hundred. An interesting one is a promotional card that was made for the movie The Winning Team. It's a fascinating movie with Ronald Reagan, but I figured in my studio, I love baseball and, well, it's Ronald Reagan. And then there's a 1954 card of Ted Williams. It's really not that valuable. I just like having it. There are others, of course. I have a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. No, not the Upper Deck number one that's super uber expensive. I've got the Don Russ version, which is still a nice card. And then, perhaps my pride and joy of my collection is my very pretty Ricky Henderson rookie card. I'm always on the lookout for other interesting cards to put in my collection. And by the way, if you happen to be listening to the program and you have some baseball cards you'd be willing to part with, hit me up. You never know. Maybe we can make a deal. Anyway, the World Series holds a special place in America's heart, a very special place in my own. It's the championship that brings us back to our youth. A simpler time. Perhaps a time when things actually made sense. If only politics worked like baseball. Sometimes it actually does. After all, baseball is a pretty unpredictable game. Just like politics. So let's get to some of that. There's an article this morning in the Cowpie, written by none other than Trotsky Wolfson, entitled, Silent Protesters Read Controversial Books During Cheyenne School Board Meeting. And then the subtitle says, quote, a group of Cheyenne parents and students held a silent protest of the Laramie County School District No. 1's proposed change to its library books policy regarding controversial books during Monday's school board meeting. This comes on the tail of Superintendent Megan Degenfelder testifying before Congress about all of these sexualizing books. And I quote, down the aisle and through the rows, many of those at the Laramie School District No. 1's Board of Trustees meeting Monday didn't seem to be paying any attention. That's because their heads were buried in books, controversial books that have been singled out by some on the board as potentially not fit to be in district libraries. The book's readers, making up nearly half of those in attendance at the meeting, were there in a form of silent protest against recent efforts to deal with certain books viewed as sexually explicit or obscene for underage readers of the school district. Quote, we're here to remind them that people are free to read freely, said Meg Varhalmy. End quote. First, everyone is free to read freely, Meg. There's absolutely nothing that restricts you from reading anything that you want. There is, however, a question of where you'd be able to obtain said material that you want to read. School libraries are funded by taxpayers, you and me. Schools are largely inhabited by minors. Unless, of course, you're a real dummy and you're over the age of 18 and had to repeat school 14 times. There are lots of things that minors aren't able to do that full-grown adults can, such as purchase pornography. And why all of these wackos think that we taxpayers ought to be purchasing pornography and obscene material is beyond me. Why should I spend my money sexualizing another person's child? In any other context, that would be viewed as a criminal offense. Evidently, not in the view of Sarah Burlingame. Wait a minute. Where did she come up? She's not mentioned in Trotsky's article. Oh, but she was very much present and accounted for at the meeting. If you scroll way down in Trotsky's article, there's a picture of Sarah Burlingame sitting in the corner, grinning. No doubt she helped organize the silent book protest at the Laramie County School District School Board meeting. Now, I don't know that for certain, but this is so far up Sarah Burlingame's alley that it's a pretty good bet. The language of Trotsky's article is also pretty interesting. While he doesn't mention the phrase book banning, he lets meeting attendee Meg Varhalmy do it for him. This is done for a specific reason, because Leo Trotsky Wolfson knows that no one is talking about banning books except for the media. Quote, when you don't protest, they think they're in a bubble. It's a way of telling them the majority doesn't actually agree with restrictive book banning. It's the job of the board to provide a quality education. End quote. And why is it now that some people consider sexual content to be part of a quality education? I don't recall ever being exposed to purient material when I was in school, and yet I'm a pretty educated guy. You see, what a lot of these liberals do is they conflate words to lead you to believe that they mean things that they do not. For example, education. While I would never accuse one of these hair-on-fire liberals of ever being able to use a dictionary, they most assuredly know that they have to change the definition of the word education to fit their own political agenda. Because if they don't, they'll be exposed as the indoctrinating nutballs that they are. To the 1828, educate, to bring up as a child, to instruct, to inform and enlighten the understanding, to instill into the mind principles of arts, science, morals, religion, and behavior. To educate children well is one of the most important duties of parents and guardians, end quote. Did you notice that there isn't anything in there that you could possibly stretch to allow you to include a litany of sexual fetishes? If you left things up to the whims of Sarah Burlingame, the first book that should get rid of is Webster's 1828 Dictionary. It's still important to understand that words have meaning. Words mean things. And wacko activists go to great lengths to make you think words mean things that they do not. There's a very good reason why most of our graduating seniors are not proficient in reading and writing. Because if they could read and write, they'd realize that what they've been told for a great many years is absolutely not the truth. That's truth with a small t, of course. School boards across the cowboy state should just come to realize that it is not the job of taxpayers to provide sexual content to students. Seems pretty common sense, doesn't it? But as we all know, that is something that hasn't been taught in American education in a very long time. It might surprise you to find out that there are schools in Wyoming that have done away with the traditional grading scale of A through F. It seems that giving someone an F for their lack of effort hurts their delicate little feelers. Clearly, we can't give someone a grade that is reflective of what they've been focused on, their feelings. If we were to do that, school boards across Wyoming, Sarah Burlingame, and the media would receive a big fat red F. I've got a little bit more for you on today's program, but first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, a word from our sponsors. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or a big, gigantic warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So it doesn't really matter what type of building you've been thinking about for your property. Just call Nick and Jesse. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. Tell them what you've got in mind, and they'll handle all the details. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Gunrunner Auctions always has a wide selection of firearms, but what you may not realize is they also have a huge amount of ammunition and gun accessories. A lot of times, some of the hard-to-find calibers can't be picked up at your local gun shop. The first place you should look is Gunrunner Auctions. Often, they have a wide variety of ammunition for just about every caliber. Or, if you're looking for a good deal on calibers that just about everybody has in their gun cabinet, you could also go to Gunrunner Auctions. For example, right now is lot number 546. It's 192 rounds of .30-06 ammunition sealed in a green Spam can. It's perfect for your Garand or your 1903s. And this one can be yours. It's lot number 546 at GunrunnerAuctions.com. If you listen to Don Day, winter is about ready to smack us in the face. You know what that means, don't you? You get to go shovel the walk. And if you ask me, the worst part about doing that is my feet end up frozen each and every time. Well, that was until I discovered socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. My friends, these are the warmest socks that I've ever put on my feet. And you can get you a pair at their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. So again, their website is thebuffalowoolco.com. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone, documented to be almost always right over 98% of the time. Yesterday, I had to attend one of these dumb public officer trainings. You know, the one you've been hearing about? From the outside, it doesn't seem like that bad of an idea. If you're part of a board that handles public money, you should have a cursory understanding of the statutes surrounding it. That just makes sense. Now, in every Wyoming community, there are a litany of boards. The library board, the museum, the one that I'm on, the dump, or the solid waste district. But there are others. Weed and pest, the hospital board, and everybody understands the school board, where we dump a majority of our tax dollars. So the state of Wyoming has set up this mandatory public officer training. So if you're going to be on one of these boards, you got to take this training. And presumably, at the end of it, you'll know all about the reporting requirements, what you can and what you can't do. Like I said, from the outside, it seems like a pretty good idea. Having sat through one of these displays, I can tell you for a fact that it was almost a complete waste of my time. Everything that was presented in this training is something that you should already educate yourself about if you're going to sit on one of these boards. Now, I suppose that there are boards throughout the state of Wyoming that are just looking for volunteers so that they can do business. And so, some well-meaning, community-minded individual says, okay, what the heck, I have some free time and I'll sit on the board. The operative word in that whole statement is free. The vast majority of boards in the state of Wyoming are not paid. They're manned by volunteers. And now, the state of Wyoming is mandating that everyone that is a public officer or that sits on the board, which if you sit on a board, that would make you a public officer, but they're making you give up an entire day during the week and sit through this training that you could very easily spend 2 hours on the internet at home figuring it all out. Or, if you were feeling adventurous, at the library. So when I walked in, oh, by the way, this is not a training that you can attend via Zoom from your home. You have to go to the state-designated area to take this training. In my case, it was the Johnson County Courthouse. Anyway, it was very clear from my front row seat in the County Commissioner's Chamber at the Johnson County Courthouse that the Department of Audit, who had been tasked by the legislature to come up with this training, had spent probably 1,000 man hours putting together this PowerPoint presentation. They went through everything that could possibly pertain to a board in minute detail, and 80% of it did not have anything to do with the solid waste district that I'm on. Not to mention the 100-page document that I was presented with when I walked through the door. If you're following me, the dollar signs should be ringing like a cash register in your head. So in other words, the legislature passed a bill that tasked the Department of Audit for coming up with a training program. And any time you give a bureaucracy free rein to come up with a program of their own, it's going to be bureaucracy run amok, which is exactly what happened in this case. And the culprit from the legislature is none other than House Bill 60 from 2022. Fiscal Training and Enforcement of Financial Reporting Laws. So this is a law telling you to follow the law. Your tax dollars at work. But like I said, from a 30,000-foot perspective, this may not have been that bad of an idea. Across the state of Wyoming, there are a whole bunch of boards that aren't reporting their finances, or at the very least, aren't doing it correctly. In Johnson County alone, there's about $75 million that's floating around all of these various boards, some of which is actually in violation of state law because the amount of money that they have in reserves is far more than they need to operate even for the next 2 years. There's a state statute about that too. So there are definitely some shortfalls among all of these various boards. The few legislators that I talked to about this dumb bill said that it was an attempt to get these volunteers trained up so they knew how to do their financial reporting. Good intentions, I suppose. The problem is one little phrase in House Bill 60. Quote, "The Department of Audit shall promulgate rules." End quote. Yep, that's the culprit right there. That little phrase, allow the Department of Audit to create a giant education program. And really what they were doing is justifying their own position because they had House Bill 60 telling them that they had to create this giant thing and educate everybody. And so they set all of the people to work in the Department of Audit, creating a giant training program. The bill gives them complete discretion on how to create the training, what it's going to look like, and probably the most important point to all of us volunteer board members, how long it's going to take. It's a clear example of government bureaucracy run amok. But the legislature does this sort of stuff all of the time. The agency will promulgate rules, giving said agency carte blanche to do whatever they want. And then later we question why we have such a bloated and expansive government. It's because the legislature created it. And here's the kicker. With House Bill 60, all but one of the members of the House of Representatives voted for it. That's what I said. 59 out of 60 members of the House voted for it. And the few people that are normally the watchdogs on this whole thing missed it too. The conservatives. Now, at that time, in 2022, there were only 16 members of the House of Representatives who were small government, less spending type of folks, but even they missed it. Good intentions, terrible result. And who gets to pay the price for it? Volunteers of local community boards. The legislature should never put an entire agency in charge of any program because it's always going to be much bigger and much more expensive than it ought to be or that it definitely needs to be. Like I told you, that training I sat through yesterday, 80% of it did not apply to my position on the Solid Waste District. What the legislature ought to do is direct the Department of Audit to tailor this training to each specific type of board and mandate that it's no more than 1 or 2 hours. You see, the type of people that generally volunteer for these boards are business folks. And to make them take off an entire day of work during the week costs them a tremendous amount of money for a board position that they don't get paid for. Not to mention that it would be far more interesting to watch a snail race than to sit through that mind-numbing experience that I did yesterday. The very first thing that the legislature should do is fix this dumb piece of legislation so that we don't have all of our local boards empty with people who simply cannot afford to go through this idiotic training. But I guess, in the end, it's just one more volume in the annals of dumb legislative actions. Well, that'll do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday during Weekend Update. Don't forget to catch my live program, which begins every weekday at 9 a.m. on the Independence Network. You can find a link to it at my website, cowboystatepolitics.com. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.